One of my favorite sayings is, you don't know what you don't know. I like it because it makes you have to think a little to really get the gist of it. What does that mean? It's deeper than simply being ignorant of something like rocket science. I may not know any rocket science. In fact, I don't know any rocket science. But I'm still aware of the fact that I don't know it. And so I could fix that ignorance by going to school and learning rocket science. This saying, however, goes one step further. It is ignorance of something I don't even know I'm ignorant of. Now, the best way to illustrate this point is with a blonde joke. I see we have a number of blondes in the congregation today, so you'll really enjoy this. A guy walks into a bar and orders a drink. After a few too many drinks, he turns to the person sitting next to him and says, "You want to hear a blonde joke?" The guy answers, "I am 240 pounds, world kickboxing champion, and a natural blonde. My friend here is 190 pounds, world judo champion, and a natural blonde. My other companion is 200 pounds, world arm wrestling champion, and is also a natural blonde. Now, do you still want to tell me that blonde joke?" The man thinks a moment and replies, "Well, not if I have to explain it three times." If you didn't get that joke, there's a reason. The gist of the joke is that blondes do not know what they do not know. That's the gist of all blonde jokes. Now, I'm not really picking on blondes today, because we are all in the same boat. No one knows what they do not know. Think about it this way. When you were 10 years old, you thought you understood a few things about life. But when you turned 20, you realized how ignorant you were as a 10-year-old. And then when you turned 30, you look back at your 20-year-old self and you realize how little you knew at 20. And at 40, you look at your 30-year-old self and see what a fool you were at 30. And at 50, you do the same and see how silly you were at 40. What happens at 60? What is likely to happen at 70? Let me ask you, when will that end? When will you finally understand everything? Maybe 80? Maybe 90? But by then you get Alzheimer's and forget everything that you learned. And this is the kind of ignorance you cannot fix by going to school and learning rocket science. Why not? Because we don't know what we don't know. Just like you didn't know at 30 what you learned at 40. In other words, we're all in the same boat as blondes. We're all blonde. In the gospel today, Jesus insists that his apostles understand the ignorance that they have. They say to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." And how does Jesus reply? He says, "If you had the faith of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Apparently, none of them had even that much faith. None of them could say to that mulberry tree, "Be uprooted." In other words, it's good to pray for more faith, but first, you must realize the immensity of your ignorance. If your faith, what you think you know, what you believe, what you have some confidence in, isn't even the size of a mustard seed, then how much more must be there that you don't know? My friends, may I suggest a few ways to embrace our own ignorance, and by doing so, start to grow in faith. Start to grope in the darkness of error an inch toward the light of truth. First, don't be too smart for your own good. In other words, be willing to admit when you made a mistake. Be eager to say, "I don't know." Can you say that? Let's say you really are a rocket scientist and you know many things, but there are immeasurably more things you do not know. The ancient philosopher Socrates famously said, "The only thing that I know is that I don't know." Folks, there is more wisdom in that one line than in all the information on the internet. Secondly, pray. Like the apostles, ask the Lord to give you more faith. If it is true that we do not know what we do not know, then faith is like knocking on the door of the unknown and hoping someone will open that door and let us in. And what lies on the other side of that door, we'd never guess in a million years. That's why St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "What eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, what has not even entered into the human heart is what God has prepared for those who love Him." Through prayer, we begin the search, or we scratch the surface of all that we didn't know that we didn't know. Thirdly, ask for help and accept other people's offer of help. Sometimes when a church staff member asks me about a difficult situation at Immaculate Conception, I often turn around and I ask them, "What do you think we should do in this situation?" And very rarely do I disagree with their suggestion. In fact, they often come up with a solution I would never imagine. They help me to know what I don't know. Father Norman McFall, a newly ordained priest, visited a lady in the hospital. And before he left, he asked her, "Would you do me a favor and pray for me?" She was surprised. And she said, "How can I, a layperson, pray for a priest? You don't need my prayers." He answered, "If Pope Francis can go around the world and ask people to pray for him, I figure I need some prayers too." Ask for help. Ask for prayers. Why? Because there are so many things you don't even know you don't know. And fourthly, do not be afraid or become angry with other people when they question you or contradict you. Does that ever happen to you? Maybe it is your spouse who questions and contradicts you. Do you get angry? Maybe it's your employer who questions how you're doing something. Maybe it's the deacon in your church, never the nice priest. Maybe they're pointing out something you didn't even know you didn't know. Don't you sometimes wish that Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton would really listen to what the other person was saying to them? Maybe they might learn something that they didn't even know they didn't know. During the Revolutionary War, General George Washington paid a visit to Abigail Adams. She was wife of John Adams. They enjoyed some tea together. And General Washington thanked Abigail Adams for all the letters that she wrote to John Adams while the Continental Congress was in session. He said to her, "We will miss your letters." Why did General Washington say that? Because Abigail Adams helped the founding fathers begin to know what they did not know. By the way, I don't believe Abigail Adams was a blonde, but George Washington might have been. Praised be Jesus Christ.